Off the Ball.
Home of Wednesday night rugby with Woody and Jerry.
On News Talk 106 to 108.
A little bit earlier on today, Dave got the opportunity to sit down with Tadhg Furlong. JP wanted me to tell you it was when Beast Mode met Beast Mode.
Tadhg, what's your experience of Millennium Stadium? Have it good or bad or indifferent?
As a spectator, really. I was, I've never actually togged out and played there as 24th man a good few times in the World Cup, and I think at the time I was pretty envious of the lads and get to play in the atmosphere and I suppose the cauldron that it is. So absolutely can't wait to throw the boots on and get out there.
I mean, do you get to enjoy the sort of build-ups to stadiums that you haven't been at before while at the same time focusing on the job on hand? Because obviously, Joe's, the attention to detail is one thing, but just you have to be able to embrace these occasions as well.
Yeah, I think you can probably look forward to it a bit now, but you know, the day before leading up to the game, you're going to be pretty nervous in your stomach. So it's going to be an incredible occasion. You know, the Welsh fans, the Welsh public, you know, rugby's the national sport there. So looking forward to a really good atmosphere and, you know, a really tough battle on the pitch.
Are those nerves starting to settle game on game at this stage? I mean, it's just been a whirlwind 12 months. It's not like that you've come from nowhere, but a lot of casual rugby observers wouldn't have known a huge amount about you just 12 months ago. Do you still get those feelings?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I think I've only a handful of caps and something you kind of enjoy as well. Weirdly enjoy. You know, you're really nervous, but same time you just wish the kickoff had come around. And I suppose relatively inexperienced. I think that's part of test match rugby. And I don't know if 14, 15 caps. I'd say some of the lads with 50, 60 will probably tell you the same. It probably doesn't get any easier, but I suppose it's part of the occasion.
I'm sure, given the position you're in, there was a lot of talk about what happened at the Millennium Stadium a couple of years ago, and it's Wayne Barnes that's going to be calling the shots again this Friday night. Are you worried in any way, or do you feel that you'll have done enough prep as a group and as individuals that whatever interpretation Wayne takes on the night, it can vary, you guys will be ready for it?
Yeah, I think we just try to be as disciplined as we can, especially for me, a tie head around the scrum, paint good pictures and probably go from there. And as a team, I suppose we pride ourselves a little bit on our ability to stay within the rules of the game. So hopefully the weekend is no different.
When the scrum is going well, do you find it helps the rest of your game, much like maybe a place kicker, if he's nailing them, the rest of his game seems to go along with it? Do you find you make more tackles, your lifting becomes a little easier, that everything else that you're responsible for actually starts to click a bit more?
Yeah, it can have a small bit of knock-on effect. I think if you're going forward, you're probably not expending as much energy either. If you're caught in a bad position, you're trying to battle your way out of it. You know, it's tough on the lungs, it's tough on the body. When you're going forward, you probably don't have to fight as hard. So that's going to have a knock-on influence for you around the pitch as well. That being said, your core role's going well. You're probably bouncing a small bit as well, bouncing on your feet a small bit around the place.
Conversely, if a couple of scrums go against you, is it difficult to put it out of your mind and make sure that you're focusing whatever the next play happens to be?
Yeah, usually what would happen is I suppose you play on, you get up and you go on, and then maybe the next break before the next scrum, you know, you pull together as a front row and you digest. So you pretty much just wipe it off, wipe it out of memory and get on. And then as soon as you have a chance to, I suppose, have a conversation with the lads around you, you do that.
Cheers, Tadhg.
Wednesday night rugby on Off the Ball.
All right, you're very welcome along to Wednesday night rugby. With us as ever, we've got Jerry Thornley of the Irish Times in studio. Also with us is Keith Wood, and very specially tonight, I'm delighted to say we've got Martin Williams with us. Gentlemen, you're all very welcome. Martin, especially you.
Good evening. Thank you very much. Good evening, guests.
If I could start with you, actually, Rob Howley's come in for quite a bit of stick from Welsh rugby fans on social media and some Welsh rugby journalists for not making any changes ahead of this game against Ireland, and yet in a perverse way I can really see his logic.
Yeah, I think a bit of stick is an understatement. He's taken a lot of flack today. I think it's a really difficult one with Wales, because for the first two and a half games of this championship, everything looked back to normal. You know, good win out in Italy, a brilliant game against England, even though they didn't get a result. Half time going in against Scotland, you're thinking, you know, in total control, and then a complete collapse, really. So I think it's indicative as well of the strength and depth of the Welsh team, and the management don't seem to have any faith in the younger players who have been in camp over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and he's stuck to the normal team, and you know, with the experience and giving them a second go at it, really, after you know, the collapse of the second half against Scotland.
Yeah, do you think that's the right decision? I mean, I can understand why you want to challenge this group of players, because if you make those changes and the guys who come in don't perform particularly well, well, then you've got nothing.
I think of the changes I would have made, I would have started with Luke Charteris. I think, particularly with Ireland, you know how strongly driving Moore is, and that guy, he's a one-man wrecking machine when it comes to that. And I would have started with Toby Faletau. I think the Welsh bench have made no impact whatsoever in the last two games. And I think somebody like Jake Ball and Ross Moriarty on the bench rather than starting would be, you know, better suited to make an impact coming off the bench. Apart from that, you know, I agree with Robert. I keep the same backline. There's lots of calls for Sam Davies coming for Dan Biggar. But we saw against England, you know, when is a real scrap on? You want Dan Biggar on your side. He's a phenomenal player, you know, and he can win or lose. He can win a game for Wales single-handedly. So, and Sam Davies is untested. So I do agree with Rob. The only two I would have made really is I would have started Faletau and Charteris. They played for Bath 6 days ago, so I think that came into the equation as well.
Keith, the level of backlash against what Howley has done has been, I guess that's just what happens when you're the head coach of the Welsh rugby team, that this is such an important game for them, because really this is going to be a failure of Six Nations for them if they lose this match. So the stakes are very high, and the stakes are very high individually for a lot of the players too, in terms of line selection and all that kind of stuff. It's that kind of weird combination of factors that, plus it's a home game for them, that just makes me a little bit concerned about the fact that Ireland are favourites for this game. What's your sense of where we are at this stage in the week, and what kind of a game were you expecting on Friday night?
Well, I think a couple of points. Firstly, we you know, we're totally besotted with sport in Ireland, and we think everything, that the press are harder here than they are in anybody else, and that we're under pressure all the time. It is nothing compared to rugby in Wales. I mean, the Western Mail will go ballistic at every available opportunity, and you know, Martin knows exactly what it's like. It's just under the microscope. It's their main game. It is the national sport. It is on everybody's lips every day, and it just is set up to a higher level of scrutiny altogether. And Martin touched on one point there, which was about the lack of depth maybe in Wales. It's maybe the lack of oomph from the coaching panel to make a change. Wales have only had three new cap players. Now we all have these stats, but they've only got three new cap players since the World Cup, compared to 19 from Ireland, and that's pretty stark idea and view into exactly how many players we now seem to have at our disposal, and maybe the lack of trust that sits within Pro 12 being a big step up for Wales. So I think they're nervous. I think they are. They haven't performed as well. They were brilliant. I still think, even though Wales lost, I think the England Wales game is the game of the tournament so far. It was just phenomenal. And I don't know whether they took anything for granted and thought that they could come out in the second half against Scotland and win comfortably, because they were awful in the second half and looked devoid of any attacking capability. And we know that they can attack, but they just haven't done so for the last couple of years. They just haven't seemed to kind of hit the markers. So I don't know whether I have a huge fear of going down to Wales. I would like to see a level of performance from Ireland that is kind of dismantling, like it was against France. It wasn't destruction or anything like that, but Ireland picked holes when they needed to against France and were in control for an awful lot of the game. If you're able to deal with a lot of the physicality and not give away too many penalties, and there are things Ireland have been good at, I think we can go to Wales with a level of confidence. And are we favourites? I don't know what the bookies say.
Three points.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, it still means we have to do very well to win by only a few points. But that's the nature of this tournament this year in particular.
The one thing, I suppose, we have a fair idea of exactly what level of performance Ireland are going to get, with the maybe the exception of the opening 40 minutes against Scotland and maybe the opening 15 minutes against France. We've been at a fairly high level of performance, and actually you stretch back the sample size all the way back to the very start of Joe Schmidt's tenure, and we know exactly that we can expect Ireland to play really well. With Wales, there is a possibility that they put in an even better performance than they did against England, that this is a team who have been roundly pilloried and challenged by their own people, by their own coaching tickets. And it's those situations that you find professional sports people really generally respond if they are the type of winners that we know this Welsh team are.
Yeah, and if you go through history, it shows us that when Wales are wounded and down and desperate for a win at home to salvage pride, they tend to deliver for all the reasons the two lads have outlined. It's been their national sport, and it's such an important part of the fabric of Welsh society and how the Welsh team performs. And this is an experienced side, though it's younger than Ireland, it's still a very experienced side, almost identical tally of caps as Ireland. And they'll be hurt and they'll be wounded, and you would imagine they will come out firing. Most of all, they're at home. You know, they're going to be playing in front of a 60,000 crowd at home. And apart from England's win at Wales, and that was only just, Wales very nearly the only side to beat England in the last year and a half, but for one failed exit strategy and one failed kick chase, they would have won that game. And not too many people in the review of the match would have complained had Wales won that match. They took as much of the game to England as vice versa and just didn't put away a couple of scores when they had the chance. I think they're going to produce a really big performance. Look back through history. When they lost to England in 2015, they beat Ireland then in the penultimate round. Do you remember when Ireland also made a slow start? And because you're at home, it tends to just galvanise the team, and it's just a huge advantage. You saw that when Ireland played France last time out. I don't think Wales have gone without a win at home in the Six Nations since 2003. Like even back in 2007 when they were putrid, they'd lost their first four games. They filleted England in the last day just to salvage pride. And I think you're going to see a very, very focused, angry side. They have a two-week build up to this game. And while Martin's points about the not changing, bringing in
Charteris
and Faletau, which most Welsh journalists I was speaking to were expecting as well, it's still a powerful enough bench with Faletau to come off it and with Charteris to come off it and Jamie Roberts to come off it. And I don't think they've been out too far away. They could easily have won that England game. And for 40 or 50 minutes, they were much the better side against Scotland. They just didn't quite take their chances in Scotland, as they've been doing throughout this championship, took every one of theirs.
Martin played in 2007. Martin, do you like being described as putrid? Do you?
I did. I played in the last game, I can remember. I played in 2003 as well, Keith, and we lost every game. So I'll take the putrid 2007.
Why is the Welsh team so inconsistent year to year? And it doesn't even seem to game to game. It's like this possibility. This is a down year. Grand, this is a down year. Next year, you wouldn't be terribly surprised if there was a Grand Slam in this group.
Yeah, I think, look, they haven't actually won anything since the famous game where we beat England 30 points to 3 in 2013. And, you know, a lot of those players then went on the Lions tour, won a Lions series. And if you're brutally honest, I think a lot of the players haven't kicked on since then. I think, you know, there's a general feeling within Wales that, you know, we've got this real golden generation where we were going to win Six Nations back-to-back and et cetera. And they really haven't kicked on. And I think that's what's frustrating the Welsh public at the moment and why Rob Howley and the coaching team are taking so much flack. They just haven't seen improvement in, you know, you've got to beg the question, is Lee Halfpenny a better player than he was 3-4 years ago? George North, Jonathan Davis, Scott Williams, all these players who've been under the regime haven't really kicked on over the last 4 years. There have been glimpses of it, and there's been one-off games, like you say, where, you know, they look as if they've turned the corner. And I really thought that against England. I thought, right, even though they've lost this is the time they've turned the corner. They're back to their form in, you know, from 3-4 years ago. But, you know, that inconsistency came back. So I think it's just, you know, that's something the coaching staff, you know, rightly really come under pressure, because, as Keith said, they haven't injected new blood. They've shown huge loyalty to this group of players, and I think the players need to repay that loyalty on Friday night.
Is part of the difficulty that they have that so many of the players are actually playing in England, and as a result, you don't have that same access, you don't have that same ability just to build up the familiarity with each other in the weeks between games, and so in those circumstances, you're not going to blood new players in the Six Nations. You're going to have to wait for the summer tours or November internationals.
There's a few, you know, who are outside, you know, that. But George North gets full release, Lee Halfpenny gets full release. They're probably just one or two are not there week in, week out. And look, this coaching staff, having worked underneath them, they put so much emphasis on how you train. If you're a new player, how you train when you come into camp, regardless of how well you've played in the Pro 12 or, you know, with your regional side, if you don't impress in training, they're not going to pick you. And the sense that we were in camp in the weekend speaking to Sean Edwards, that was the sense I got, that all these new players have put the call in, they haven't impressed the management team. So, you know, it's a difficult one as well. I think, you know, the regional sides are not in big Champions Cup games either, where they can hold their hand up. You know, if you're playing in, you know, marquee Champions Cup, top high, you know, top tier European games and having big games, that holds your hands up as well. But the fact the regions are doing really poorly and in the second tier of the competition isn't helping them when it comes to selection either.
Yeah, so it's kind of a strange combination of events. And yet at the same time, as Keith said, they put in that performance against England, which, or maybe it was Jerry's point, was that no one would have complained if they'd actually won that game. From a neutral's perspective, they were really in it. So I guess, just to finish this up, is what do you expect from this team in terms of performance?
I'm expecting, look, I think it'll be a very, very similar game to the England game. I think both sides were absolutely, for very different reasons, really absolutely desperate to win the game. And there's a lot of familiarity between the players. It'll be hugely physical. And I think it will go down to those last few minutes again. And I think, I'm hoping, from a Welsh point of view, that this time, you know, Jerry mentioned the bench there, who have made, even though you've got the big names on there, they've made little impact at all in the Six Nations. Hopefully, the experience on that bench can come on and actually finish a game. But I think it will be very, very tight, and you know the bookies are never far off of it, a 3-point start. But I do fancy us just to nick this one. I won't lie to you, just because of the backlash, and I sense a reaction off the Scotland game.
All right, Martin, we let you go. Great stuff. Thanks so much.
Cheers,
for joining
guys.
Us.
Thank you.
I'm kind of not surprised he said that in the end. But, I think that everybody in Wales must be thinking, "Come on, you owe us a performance here, lads."
In a major way, and to a degree, the fact that he's named an unchanged 15 and unchanged 23 for the first time since Graham Henry was in charge, last time a Welsh coach did this, the players themselves know better than anybody. They've had 2 weeks to stew in this in camp and Vale of Glamorgan, that this is possibly, if they were to lose this, then there's no way the team will remain unchanged again for the final game. That's for sure. So they're on a little bit of a last chance saloon, and they're proven big game players. They perform well under pressure. I tend to subscribe to Ronan Garr's point of view that this team, a wounded Welsh team, makes them a little bit more dangerous, that they're going to be playing for pride. And history's shown us, like I said already, that when they play for pride, they're very dangerous. And there's another few factors at work here, not least Wayne Barnes' presence as referee. 13 tests with Wayne Barnes as referee, and Ireland have only won 4 of them, lost 9. It's by some distance the worst record with any referee in charge of a significant number of games with Ireland being involved. And the advantage that Ireland had at 9-10 against France was key, it was critical. Fine player though, Baptiste Serrin and Camille Lopez are. They're not very experienced. They only brought in about 20 caps into that game between them. Sexton and Murray are vastly experienced, but I think Rhys Webb and Dan Biggar are two of the fulcrums of this Welsh team. And Webb has been outstanding the last couple of games. And Biggar always plays well against Irish sides, whether it's for Ospreys or for Wales. He's a very multi-talented rugby player. And I do think if they get an early start, if they get the kind of start, remotely kind of start they got 2 years ago.
Or that Scotland got.
Well, when you're then the home team, previous form goes straight out the window and you get a whole fresh set of momentum and a fresh breeze of momentum from the crowd. And it just, you know, what happened before doesn't matter.
Yeah. Keith, that point you were making about Ireland dismantling the way that we did against France, that's what we need to do against Wales. What is the platform for us to do that? How does that actually happen?
Well, one of the elements, I thought France were good in the opening 15 minutes, and I would like Ireland to try and start a bit better. I know Ireland want to start a bit better too. It is about holding the ball and having the ball in the right part of the field, trying to be in control of it for a lot. And the dismantling is a kind of, sounds like a destructive word, and it isn't. It's like almost like a thoughtful dismantling. And there was a lot of plays and carries and training field moves that were used that didn't work as well as you'd have liked or that they would have liked, but that wasn't a problem. That was part of the process, and until eventually there was a gap, and when there was a gap, it did happen. When the pressure was kept on for a period of time, there were penalties that were being given away. Suddenly, because you're in the right part of the field, you're able to pick up those points where you want to, or you can kick in the corner, which I don't know that I necessarily would do as much as we're doing at the moment. But there is that sense of, if you're in the right part of the field, stay there long enough and you're going to get a score. And like, we need our line out to function very well. We need our scrum to really function, because it's been pretty good. We need our driving mauls to go well, because when we kick in the corner, and we will, because we need to keep that discipline there to get that score. I think our own discipline in terms of penalty giving away has been phenomenal, and I think that's one of the biggest elements. And if we bring our game at the start, and like, we do have to reference Scotland in the first game when we just didn't get up to the mark. If we do that, we're in trouble. If we get our game going properly with all that pressure that we can bring to bear, that we do, it seems to be a bit relentless. I think I'm a bit bullish. I think 8 to 10 points is what I'm hoping for.
Wow,
from
this
Ireland.
Is a
Which is very rare for me. Now, I'm a 2 to 3 point kind of goer, and that's when you look at it from far out, that's what you'd often say. But I think if we start well, that's where we can get to. And if we don't, I think we're then trying to eke out that one score win at the very end.
Yeah.
But if we start well and we're able to put pressure on Wales, they're under huge pressure. I mean, I sat in the studio up in Scotland a couple of weeks ago with Jonathan Davis. He was going ballistic. He's just at the lack of cutting edge. He can't understand it. And you have to remember that Wales don't think about what happened last Saturday. They think about what happened in the 70s. All the time, the flowing tries, the beautiful scores, that is an expectation that's there. And what would you say about Wales over the last number of years? They have been incredibly brave and obdurate and capable and pragmatic.
Mm.
That's not really what they want.
That's not sexy.
No, not sexy enough. And there's a huge amount of pressure. And then the pressure goes on the coach. And I do think with Warren Gatland going a year early to go to coach the Lions, I do think that puts a huge amount of pressure on their structures.
Yeah. Let me just play you this. It's Schmidt talking about that specific issue about the scrums and whether or not the Ireland camp have actually been in touch with Wayne Barnes. Have a listen.
I haven't had any conversations with Wayne. We're always feeding things back. We were frustrated around the scrum last time, and we were frustrated around the scrum against France. You know, we play off more scrums than anyone else in the championship, and it's incredibly infuriating when teams that don't tend to play off scrums get rewarded for the way they approach the scrum. So, you know, again, those sort of discussions, we don't have those necessarily prior to the match. What we do is we just feed that back to through the process, and that then gets channeled back to the referees in general. They have a meeting. They try to sort out how best to make sure that the rules are followed and that that teams are positive in what they do. And look, I'm sure Wales have concerns, and that they put those through the process. And between the two of us, we get informed, look, you guys need to be careful about doing this or that. They need to be careful about doing that or this. And then you try to make sure that the game goes smoothly on the day. And that's a massive challenge for a referee. There are so many laws. There are so many different pictures to see that, it's nice to have one of the better referees. And I think, last time there were frustrations because I think there was a zero tolerance around falling on the wrong side of the tackle in the first 20 minutes, and that ebbed away. I think, but I understand why, because I think, it would have been 13 aside by the end of the game, the way it was going. So, that tolerance was extended a little bit. Unfortunately, in the first 20 minutes, we didn't have a lot of ball, and we copped the penalties against us.
12-0 down at that stage.
12-0 down after about 13 minutes, wasn't it? 4 Lee Halfpenny penalties, and nearly all of them for players being on the wrong side of the ball after the tackle. And Joe's right, because then in the second half, when Ireland had much more of the ball, he seemed to be far more lax about that issue. And then there's a question of how he's going to interpret the scrums as well. Wales traditionally don't play off as many scrums as Ireland do. They go after penalties. And then you think back even to the Grand Slam game in 2009, and people forget, but okay, Paddy Wallace might well have been correctly penalised for that last minute penalty that Stephen Jones had to deny Ireland the Grand Slam, but the penalty count that day was 15-5. There's no doubt that Ireland have fallen on the wrong side of Wayne Barnes, literally and figuratively, in many of the meetings that between these two sides and over the course of the games he's been in charge of. So you hope it doesn't come down to him in any way, shape or form, that the better side wins and there's no controversy. We all remember Mike Phillips' try with the Jonathan Kaplan as referee and Peter Allen's touch, which should never have been allowed on a number of fronts. But hopefully all this is just a side issue that, very often you, in a build-up to game, what you think will be a major issue in a game turns out not to be, and something else unexpected comes up.
Yeah, ideally Wayne Barnes won't be an issue at all.
Yeah.
That's definitely what we would prefer. That Welsh structures that you were talking about and the pressure that they're coming under because Gatland has gone to be the Lions coach, it's not new, is the thing, Keith. They've been through this before.
And it's worked. It's worked for them in the past, and they've got great results with it. But it's, you know, the way I was trying to describe it is, it's another thing to build up the pressure when they don't win. It's fine. They've no hassle when that's happening when they're winning. There's just none at all. And but there's always this level of unrest in Wales. That's what I was trying to kind of touch on. It is literally that important for everybody. This is the most important thing when they wake up on a Monday. It's the conversation for the whole week. And everybody has an opinion with it. And like they're able to kind of sling mud and say, well, you know, Gatland isn't there now, so is the eye off the ball a little? And is Howley, he's been number two for a long time. Is he able to step up to number one? Is this right for him?
And does all that not make you more concerned, though, that the team will put in a performance? Like, all that stuff for me would be the type of thing that, well, Jesus, they can't let another game go.
Well, I think they will put in a performance, but I'm hoping that Ireland's performance will be of a higher standard. And look, the Wales England game was brilliant, but England weren't particularly brilliant for a lot of that game. And an awful lot of that was the bravery of Wales and the manner in which they played. But and like England haven't played particularly well, but they're unbeaten so far, you know. So it's a kind of, it's an awkward way to look at it. But I would expect Wales to play very well, absolutely, to come back. But whether it's enough for them to, like, they need to engender a huge spark of creativity, I think, to break down Ireland's defence. And they haven't shown a huge amount of that lately. I think Lee Halfpenny has been incredibly quiet. George North is coming in for, I won't say criticism. There's an element of worry over him that maybe he hasn't been the same since he had those series of concussions, which is a hard thing to say. And I don't think you can say it in that fashion. And yet, but these are the kind of noises that are kind of bubbling around. I think he's a really good player, but I think he needs to be involved an awful lot more than he is. He had a poor game against Scotland. I would expect him to come back and have a good game. But he needs to be hunting for the ball. He can't be waiting for it to get into his hands and expecting him to kind of lift somebody up again and run 10 yards with them. You know, he needs to get involved into the game. And I don't know that the game plan that Wales have been playing for the last period of time really brings the wingers in that much. I don't think it does.
I'd only recall George Nutt being brought up the middle once, Keith, in the entire match. A couple of other times he got the ball in the wing. But what really was alarming about his performance as well, he missed 3 1-on-1 tackles. Two in the build-up to one try and one in the build-up to another try. It was just not the George Nutt we've come to know. And you think back to the player 4 years ago, who was just the best game breaker on the planet at one point.
He's such a good runner. I mean, the idea of bringing him up the middle is not necessarily what I would be saying. You'd be looking to try and get him on an angle, because you don't want him bashing guy. He's a big guy, all right. He's still a young guy, though, and you don't necessarily want him bashing into heavy traffic all the time. But it's when he can use his feet, and he's a big man then, with good feet, hard to tackle on the side, breaks an awful lot in that situation. When he cuts back at a hard angle, when he looks for a bit of space, when he runs quite laterally looking for a bit of space, when he's getting involved in the ball as opposed to trucking it up, and he can be incredibly effective. And he actually looks joyous when he's playing rugby in that instance. He just doesn't seem to get the chance and the opportunity to do that at the moment.
Just to tell everybody that Curzao has scored an own goal. It's Barcelona 2, Paris Saint-Germain 0 on the night. 40 minutes gone, 4-2 on aggregate, and it is game on officially in that one. Trev has been in touch by text to say, did Keith hear Golov on the show last night reminiscing about when he filled in as captain in 2002 and was proclaimed the greatest international rugby captain by the Argentine ref Pablo De Luca during the 2002 match against Wales at Lansdowne Road? Had it not been for your dodgy calf, that could have been you, Woody, says Trev.
It could have been. I didn't hear Golov last night. Did Golov captain Ireland twice or three times and won all of them?
I'm trying. That rings a bell, yeah.
He may be the most successful international captain of all time. Golov was a cracking captain. I played with Golov in Munster in 1999-2000. And it's an oft-told story, but I made a mistake. We're playing against Saracens, and they scored under the post, and there was no panic, and it was 2 minutes to go, and Golov said, "Okay, that's awful. Let's walk up the field now, do the right thing, get the ball, get a penalty, kick it in the corner, get another penalty, kick down into the corner, and score the try. And I remember thinking, God, how simple that sounded. And it was as if it was foretold, because we did exactly
that.
Every single part of it. And then, of course, Raj nudged the ball in off the post for us to win by a point with a cracking conversion from the corner.
Life's pretty good when you can preordain what's going to happen.
Very simple when that happens. And something unbelievably comforting, actually.
Yeah, JP says he captained 4 times and won 3 of 4, so it's not a bad record.
No.
I'm completely out of time, but can Scotland stop England's record-breaking run?
Well, first of all, I hope that Keith's right when it's a 2-score Irish win, not least with his NATO 5 kick-off, given the pressure of deadlines. A 2-score buffer with a couple of minutes to go will be very handy for some of us in the press box. I fear not. I think it'll be a 1-score game, a bare-knuckle ride as usual. The thing is, if Scotland were to win, actually they would be then in pole position to win the title, because they've got Italy at home in the last game, regardless whether Ireland beat Wales or not. So you'd certainly hope that at the very least the Scots would be fiercely competitive and deny England 4 tries. But you just look at Vunipola back getting them over the game line the way Nathan Hughes hasn't done, and you look at the power of that English bench and the way they finish games, you know, winning tries in the last 10 minutes against France and against Wales, 3 tries in the last 10 minutes against Italy. You just think that over the 80 minutes that England, the way they're going at the moment, the momentum they've got, they'll get there.
Yeah, Keith, agree with that? Yeah,
well, I think England need to have a proper performance. I don't think they've quite hit their marker as much as they'd like to, and I think they should prove too strong. But you never know, and I don't know, Scotland, there's something happening in Scotland, absolutely.
Lads, enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks so much for joining
Cheers.
Us. So 2-0 to Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain, 43 minutes on the clock. We'll get the halftime thoughts of Kev, and then we'll bring you Tony Bellew after that.
Off the ball.
Text us on 53106 for 30 cents.
News Talk 106 to 108.